Blog Talk Radio.
You this morning. You are the Most High Yah. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for life. We thank you for abundance in the midst of sorrows, the beginning of sorrows, for enduring strength and power. And those that don't have it, that are struggling, I pray that you be not far from them. Manifest your glory and your power. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. People say this is the hump day, but we know through your Ruach that we can come over any mountain, go over any valley. So I pray for the sick and afflicted and the fearful today, that they will overcome their fears, take hold by faith of their healing, that will be set free. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Satan and your demons, you have no authority, no power. You may be the prince and power of the air right now, but you cannot touch the chosen ones, the called ones, and the anointed ones. We will not fear. We will patiently await the return of our Messiah. It's in the name of Yeshua we pray. Brothers and sisters, I am V, the preacher. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We've been going over a book of Zechariah and just want to go into a little Bible study, and I hope this broadcast is finding you doing well, finding you victorious and with the strength and wherewithal to overcome your trials. Take control of your destiny. Take control of your day. Take control of your strength, your outlook, your perspective. Take control of the joy. Count it all joy, everything that's transpiring. It's hard sometimes when you look at what's going on around you, but that's the key. We're not supposed to be worrying about what's going on all around us. We're supposed to set our affections on things above. Scriptures told us when we see these things to look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. That's our redemption, our recompense, our reparations, our deliverance, our salvation. We're seeing the beginning of sorrows, and we're seeing the end of an age. Just as they saw the dark ages end and they went into their Renaissance period, well, Esau's time is coming to a close. So we're reading these remote books of the prophets. On Wednesdays, we've gone back to doing that in the mornings, and right now we're in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is an awesome prophet, nothing minor about any of these 12 prophets in the Tanakh. Nothing minor about that. That's something that man, Esau, came up with, just like he came up with the word Old Testament. There's nothing old about any of this. You'll find the majority of these books have dual prophecies. A lot of them have been fulfilled, the prophecies that we are reading about, and a lot of them are to be fulfilled in our times. They're for a remote generation, and we are that remote generation. You have to have the eyes to see. You have to know who Israel is to understand the Tanakh. You have to understand the duplicitous nature of a lot of the prophecies to be able to understand what's transpiring. You have to understand Jacob, Esau, the wilderness, the coming kingdom. Jacob holding on to Esau's heel, Esau being the end of the world and Jacob being the beginning of the world to come. You have to get things in perspective first. So you got to go back to Deuteronomy 28 chapter and understand the curses and the blessings, that prophecy. Psalms 83, the prophecy of all of these countries, nations, and races being confederate against the true children of Israel. Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9 about the synagogue of Satan, who claim the Old Testament and the Tanakh, but know nothing about it. They prefer to follow the Talmud, and they come from these Eastern European countries, and they've converted, and they're taking by force other people's culture and religion. You've got to understand the basics. And if you can't understand the basics and you're still steeped into religiosity, religion that was given to you by Esau, you're worshiping fallen angels, seeking Eastern mysticism for your healing and not believing in the power of the Most High Yah, we can't help you. None of this is making sense to you or clicking. You've got to repent, accept the Messiah. If you're non-messianic, there's no reason for you to even be listening. You've got to repent, accept the Messiah, be baptized, be born again, be regenerated, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to know you're an Israelite. Knowing is one thing. Being is another thing. So we're in the process of becoming as we grow every day, and we learn, because we constantly push into the process of learning and growing and knowing the Messiah, the Most High. That's where your protection from Psalms 91 comes in. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where your countenance, which we're hearing a lot of conversation about now, it's being called an aura, body area network. And I tell people all the time, what it is what happened to Moses when he was truly in the presence of Yah, how it changes you when the Ruach comes upon you, to the point where Moses had to put on a veil. Men don't wear veils. Children of Israel begged him to put on a veil because what was emanating from him was too bright, and it was the glory of Yah. Have you been in the presence of Yah? Did you spend time in prayer this morning? The presence of Yah will bring your healing, will change your countenance, your aura will drive away demons. You cannot be penetrated. You will find yourself with a spiritual geofence, a spiritual iron dome. And that's what it meant in Psalms 91 when it says that he will protect you from the arrows that fly by day, the arrows that fly by night, those arrows of certain frequencies attacking your mind, your brain, your body, your heart, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your cancers. He'll protect you from that when you have the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Yah within you. It's in you. It's not just you looking up and closing your eyes when you pray. It's in you if you allow it to be in you. And you don't think the Most High is not going to protect an investment that he's placed in a depository, your body being the temple? He's going to protect that investment. If you cherish the oil that's in you, It's not your responsibility to just have to take care of it and protect it. He's going to look after it. Do you know you really have to go out of your way to sin and break the covenant you have with Yah? Because he says, every time temptation comes, I make a way of escape. The problem is a lot of us don't want to escape. We don't want to repent. We don't want to be in the kingdom. We have no determination. Every time, if you look for deliverance, it will be there. But you got to want it. If you're tired of your lifestyle right now, you're tired of the peace that you have living for the Most High, you want earthly and worldly pleasures because you steep yourself into too much television and being around the wrong people that are telling you you're missing out on life, there's a problem. Stay amongst the saints. Let's get into the book of Zechariah. We've done the first six chapters, and today we're going to go into Zechariah, the seventh chapter, true righteousness. This particular prophet, his time period was during Darius the Great, a post-exilic world after the fall of Jerusalem in 587-586 BC. He was a contemporary of Ezekiel. These are powerful prophetic books, and Jeremiah. And while continuing to prophesy in the early exile period, scholars believe that they were blending various visions. And Zechariah had an influence on Jeremiah and Ezekiel. During the exile, many Judites and Benjamites were taken to Babylon, where the prophets told them to make their homes. And when we see Babylon, that's why I said you need to be able to understand the time periods and know when the dualistic aspect of the prophecies are taking place, because we're living in a shadow of Babylon today, the daughter of Babylon, America, which has influenced the entire world. So this is why spiritually you need to be able to dissect what Zechariah is saying and how prophetic it is and what is to come. It takes the Ruach to be able to understand these scriptures. That's why some of these Edomites don't need to be teaching these scriptures, because they don't have the Ruach. And one thing we know is that Acts, the fifth chapter, he says, I give my spirit to those that obey me. The obedience comes in 1 John 2 and 3, keeping the commandments. And in doing so, you receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the gifts and the signs. We got people going around here not baptizing people. Every time people were baptized, the Spirit came upon them. Even Yeshua HaMashiach, after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The upper room, the Holy Spirit descended like a cloven tongue of fire. Something always came down and descended upon the people and overtook them. And a manifestation of tongues or gifts or understanding of languages would transpire. And it's amazing. I don't want to get off. Something just hit me also that there is an experience, a physical experience that takes place when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you know it. And I think this experience is what a lot of people, when they do these Eastern religions and yoga, they're trying to experience this quickening, awakening. See, when the Ruach comes in, it changes your inner parts. How else do you think it is that you can be born again? How else is it that you think you can be regenerated, which means to be regened? Because man physically is trying to tamper with your DNA. You must be born again when you know the diabolical attempts of man and the medical system and society, what the lengths they've been going to change your makeup. Let me see if I can find the scripture, and then we'll start Zechariah. I want you to see something about the power of the Holy Spirit. If I can find it, I'm just being inspired right now to say these things I'm saying to you before we start our lesson in Zechariah. I hope I can find it. Find it. Regeneration is the work of the Spirit, and I'm not going to it right away. What I'll do is I'll see if I can find it towards the end of the lesson. I've taught them this on many occasions, and it talks about the fact of being regeneration, and what you need to know, that's something being done again. And we didn't realize from reading that scripture that it's actually referencing the second birth, about you being born again. You've got to have the Holy Spirit and be baptized, which is a symbol of the old you dying, which is why the Holy Spirit would descend after baptism. Immediately, people would be filled with the Spirit if they truly renounced and denounced the world and saying, I'm no longer going to dress like them, party like them, eat like them, talk like them, or keep their pagan holidays. I'm done with the world, is what you're saying when you get baptized. And what immediately happens in the Spirit is that there is a change within you. You are immediately transformed. And this is not Christian theology. It's not Roman Catholicism. This is real. This is not based on any particular type of religion. You are changed from within. And that's why it was the beginning of Christ starting his ministry, and we saw Moses starting what he started after he spent time on the mountain with the Most High. All right, let's go into Zechariah, because it starts talking about true righteousness.
Zechariah 7. Then it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sharezer and Regem-Melech and their men to pray before the Lord, and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart.
Let me say something, and that is to Israelites and how they should treat their fellow Israelites, that we need to be taking ownership of our people. Oppress not the widow, fatherless, the stranger. I probably would do a lesson on the stranger, because the Bible points out in Acts, the second chapter, that the strangers were those that were converted from Rome. It's very specific. Nor the poor. Wisdom of Solomon and the Apocrypha tells you what poor they're in reference to, your people. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother. Leviticus tells us to love our brother, which is our neighbor, which is within our camps, within our tribes. Let's continue.
But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears.
Disobedience.
That they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. And the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts.
Key. They made their hearts as hard as stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Most High was saying through the prophet. You have to be careful. The Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs 28, that he that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And this is what we're dealing with now with our people who do not want to hear the law, and they love holding on to what the lying pastor has said on Sunday, that you don't have to keep the laws and that the laws are done away with. And this is what's putting us in a predicament, collectively bringing us into our transformation and transition into the wilderness and getting us away from these people. But yet we want all these reparations and everything else, but we do not want to adhere to the law, which is what's going to bring our deliverance, which is righteousness, according to Psalms 119. This law changes you. You are not set apart, Kodesh, until you start doing something different than other people. Let's continue.
Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate.
Through not hearing the commandments and laws that were crying in the wilderness, like John the Baptist right now. He scattered them. That's what's going on with our people right now. We're scattered all over the world and hated all over the world. And they're Confederate. And they know they've broken us, which is why they don't care anymore. They know they've broken our people to the point where we hate each other. And we're scattered. And they are Confederate. They all know. Secret societies, Masons teach every member that they must keep their foot on our necks. Don't you know they did that thing, they staged that thing with George Floyd to give you a visual representation of the fact that we got our foot on your neck, and they let you keep seeing that image. That little girl didn't do that, shoot that video by herself. That was staged and propped up to give you a visual traumatic image that we still have our feet on your neck. You'll never rise up. And they're using technology to keep it going as well. They don't want us going back into the dark ages where Israelites ruled the world. And they teach this at the 33rd level, Freemasons. Help us keep our foot on that black man's neck. And it's because we don't want to listen and come back to the Most High that we're scattered. This is good stuff, Zachariah saying. Let's go to the 8th chapter.
Zechariah 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Let me pause. Dramatic shift, paradigm shift from chapter 7 to chapter 8. He's saying after that we're scattered and the Most High, this is how he's beginning to feel for us. He's missing his children, his family, his chosen people, his true. He's becoming jealous for us and getting ready to redeem us like enough is enough. It's time for my children to come home and to prepare for the millennial reign and the new kingdom and manifest the promises that I spoke of through all the prophets. He's doing this for his namesake and to fulfill his promise to Abraham and the prophets. And so we have 8 jumping up to the time that's rapidly approaching us now. Let's finish.
There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof.
Hallelujah.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness.
This is to come. This is the gathering of him pulling us from the four corners. This is what Zechariah is prophesying.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the...
Let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days when I'm getting ready to manifest this these words by these prophets that we're reading. That's why we're reading and learning and studying this. He was saying, in these days, as I'm preparing to get ready to do this, let your hands be strong, not feeble right now. Get your mind strong, exercise, eat right, get your nutrition. Don't be fearful. Let your hands be strong as you see the time approaching. Stop trembling with fear. Don't get caught up into what these Edomites are doing, prepping, running, making caves, knowing that nuclear disaster is coming. We're not to even fear. Why? Because he said, I have not appointed you unto wrath. I'm coming to save you. I have to do these things to rid the earth, the world, the plain of the earth, the mountains. I have to cleanse this place and purge this place. But you, according to Isaiah 26, shall be chambered away from destruction. When I talk about the catching up, it's the catching up of you. Do you know there is a book in the pseudepigrapha that says that we will be in these chambers raptured up to be able to look down at the destruction of the earth while it's being purged and then come back down? We're going to see the destruction of the people that hated Yah. Hallelujah. Let's finish.
That the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast.
Ooh. Hold on. For before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Does anybody not see us going through that right now where people can't even find a job? They're using AI to take away the jobs. So this is indicative of the prophecy indicating where we are right now. It's right there in your face, people. That's why you got to love this word and love this book. This is your book. For before these days of where he's going to come and get a hold of these people and gather us, there'll be no hire. They're trying to move you into an area of universal income where you sit at home and wait for a check, a little stipend, before they implement man won't be able to buy or sell. This is amazing. Let's continue.
Was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction? For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now,
I'm sitting up here about to have a fit. Not only is there not any hire, and you know, when it says nor any hire for beasts, that would be referencing your car, your vehicle, and how it's utilized today. They're getting ready to take away Uber because AI is driving the cars. There'll be no more DoorDash and Uber Eats. They're going to take away your job and use drones to drop everything off. We're vastly moving into this time, but listen to this. After that, it said there was no peace. There wasn't any peace to him that went out or came in because the streets are so wicked. When you leave your home now, you got to watch your back. And then it said, because of the affliction, COVID, people still out with masks, thinking some creepy little bacteria is floating around. For I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. Racial tension. Do you see the beauty of this prophetic book? This is your book. Read it and learn how to read it and understand and let it bless you. Let's see what else it says.
It will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase.
New Jerusalem.
And heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things.
Israelites.
And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, and house of Israel, so
will I save you.
And ye shall be a blessing. Fear not.
But let your hands be strong. He's promising salvation right there. I'm seeing clowns on the internet, social media saying, they're scoffing, mocking us, saying he's not coming back. That was all a fairy tale. There's no return of Jesus. Well, in that area, they're right, because there is no return of Jesus, because Jesus is not his name. And that European white guy that they gave you on that cross, no, that guy's not coming back. In that, you're right. But as far as Yeshua, He just told us right here in the prophets, and it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse, Deuteronomy 28, among the heathen, these Edomites, then he says he's clear, O house of Judah, the slaves from the 1600s, and house of Israel, the 10 tribes that left from Syrian captivity. I will save you. I'm talking about the original American Indians, Caribbean, Taino Indians, the ones that was in the Fiji Islands, Hawaii, the originals, the original Australians, the 10 tribes that left early. And then Judah and Benjamin came to meet them later in the 1600s. He said, I will save you and you shall be a blessing. So don't be scared, but let your hands be strong. Y'all ought to be shadow boxing, getting ready, because he's coming for us as we see this stuff happening around us. Zechariah's telling you. Let's finish this.
But thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
And to the house of Judah.
Huh.
Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates.
This is what we're to be doing right now. This is what we're doing in our fellowship and reading these scriptures. These are the things that you're to do while this is happening, and you're keeping your hands strong and you're doing the work. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Not your physical neighbor that you can knock on their door, but that brother that's a Hebrew next to you, or that you fellowship with, or that you talk to or communicate with online. Execute judgment of truth and peace within your gates. Speak truth, keep it truthful, and keep it peaceful. You keep out all that mess out your house and out your surroundings. And don't let nobody penetrate with a lack of it. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against a neighbor. He's saying keep the commandments and begin to do right. Prepare yourself for my soon return. Don't be focusing on harming other people, wanting to, you know what I mean. He's like, prepare yourself. Let's finish this out.
And let none of you imagine evil in your heart against his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate,
yes,
saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord.
Let me pause. That's letting you know that there will be a remnant of the heathen that will survive the destruction that will be in that millennial reign, but they will have to come up to Jerusalem to pray and seek him. There's only a remnant, Amos 9 and 14. The bottom of Amos 9, you'll see that the remnant, we shall possess them. Somebody's got to be here to see your victory and witness it and give you that admiration that truly they are the Israelites. Somebody's got to be here to grab your fringes and say, we'll go with you. Somebody has to be here. And so there are camps telling you that all of them will be gone. I'm not getting on my knees grabbing another Israelite's fringes and saying, take me with you and serving them. No, I've put my time in, and my ancestors, we've all put our time in. There will be a remnant that will be in the outer court. Y'all not going to be amongst us other nations that make it in, you remnant. We will finally have some time to ourselves.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass.
There it is.
That 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations,
mm-hmm,
even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew.
That Hebrew
saying,
Israelite.
We will go with you. We have heard
that Yah is with you.
With you.
We are going with you. And this is where we're getting ready to come unto. That's why they look at you with such disdain. These people are going to show some respect. Say, we've heard he's with you. We've heard you're the people. Then right now they're saying, oh, they can't be the people. I expect them to say that because this prophecy right here just tells you how shocked they're going to be. Oh, we'll go with you. So shocked that they'll get on their hands and knees and grab you by the fringes and say, take us with you. We want to go with you. 10 of every nation, 10 people from every nation will grab each individual Israelite saying, take me with you. You think they bugging you now? They're going to do it in a humble fashion, and they will repent. All of them that are trying to be grafted in and teach you and preach you and keep you under their feet right now, they're going to get real humble, and want to go with you and follow you. We got one more chapter to do.
Zechariah 9. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof. When the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord, and Hamath also shall border thereby, Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as the dust, and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it, and fear. Gaza also shall see it, and be very sorrowful, and Ekron, for her expectation shall be ashamed.
Now, are you able to see that this prophecy is talking about the synagogue of Satan and the Gentiles that are trodden down Israel right now, and not the promise of eight? Eight is to come. This is telling you of more of what's happening right now in our time with the Gaza war, with what's happening over there. And many people who don't know who the people are and are able to understand the synagogue of Satan, Revelations 2 and 9, 3 and 9, these prophecies and put it together, there's no peace in that land right now. The people in that land are the Gentiles that are trodden down the land. None of those people belong over there. Let's listen to the rest of this and understand with pure eyes.
The king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod.
Bastard.
And I will cut off the pride of the Philistines.
There you go.
And I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God. And he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth. And no oppressor shall pass through them any more. But now have I seen with mine eyes.
He's talking about when he restores us and we're in the land, then he's going to be our walls. And he's going to protect us after he's driven all these people out. So you let them do what they're doing over there right now. Because all of them are illegally occupying a land that is not theirs. And trying to prove to the world and take it and make that their capital for their new world order. I got news for you. It's not going to happen. It won't hold.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass.
Our redemption.
And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the end. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. For I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south.
This is to happen when we occupy the land. This hasn't happened. Don't want to hear about your six-day war and your Balfour agreement, which is expired, which is why you're doing genocide over there now, so that you can't be kicked out of the land. No, none of this has happened to you.
Of hosts shall defend them, they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day, as the flock of his people. But they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land.
Hallelujah.
For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids.
We're going to party. Not like it's 1999. Salvation is coming. You ain't saved. Your salvation is coming. Your redemption. And you're going to be placed in a land. This sorrow is going to end. The dead in HaMashiach are going to rise. Renewed. Eternity. Bodies. Changed. Transformed. Placed in this place. The gathering. This book of Zechariah is powerful. Hallelujah. Oh, may the Most High add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of this word. This is what's coming. Hold your heads up, Zion. You are Zion. I don't care about all this talk you're hearing about them fake people over there right now, because none of this is applicable to them. That's why they don't read this book. That's why they read Talmud. They don't want to read this book, because when you really read it, it points out things that have not transpired over there. There's no peace over there. There's no walls of protection. There's no rejoicing. There's murder, mayhem, blood, killing done by the hands of man and done under the auspices of Babylon that's funding all this. Nah, you're not the people. These prophecies don't apply to you. This is our book, and this is what's to come. All praises to the Most High. We're going to continue this, Most High willing, next week. We want to finish out the rest of this prophetic book, and then we'll see what the Most High says after that, which direction to go. I hope this has blessed you. Be encouraged, Zion. You got, the Most High said, when I come back, will I find faith? Or will many of you have given up? I always make reference to Daniel, the 10th chapter, and the 21-day fast he went on. He prayed and asked for an answer, and he didn't get it until 21 days later. Many of you would have given up on the 20th day, the 15th day, the 10th day, and stopped fasting and praying. You would just throw in the towel. Imagine giving up on the 20th day when you know the answer was coming on the 21st day. You see what I'm saying? So he said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? You got to say, I'm doing this for life, keeping these commandments, being obedient to Zechariah, the 8th chapter, because I want to see the fulfillment of Zechariah, the 9th chapter. I've got to hold on. And I love how all the prophets speak of this time in a different capacity and fashion. That's why it's good to read all of them and put it all together and read between the lines, because Zechariah is approaching the day of redemption in a different capacity than Amos or Zephaniah or Habakkuk or Ezekiel. They all see a different aspect of it. So it's a beautiful book. It's our book. It's our promise. It's our salvation. So please hold the line and keep your hands strong. Keep doing the work, whatever it is that you do that he's given you and he's gifted you with. You are the people, and they're going to bow down, grab your fringes and say, take us with you. Don't be amazed that they're fighting you back right now, because there wouldn't be the astonishment that Zechariah referenced in the 8th chapter, how they're going to be like, truly, you are the people. I can see the amazement. I didn't want to believe it prior to him cracking the firmament, but now I see that y'all the people. I knew it, but I didn't want to believe it. That's the astonishment. All praises to the Most High. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Stay in the secret place.